Why are you here? To worship? Any other reason? Because I'm preaching? Imagine that. Did you even know that? Now, you have been with COVID enough to know that just being together is a great thing, right? Right. Okay, we are starting a new series, and we're going to the Old Testament. But even in my studying and everything, it was hard not to go back to the new, or go front to the new. We're going to be working on the Old Testament. I don't know what my other brothers are going to be preaching about, but today I'm preaching on the call of God. So if we think about the call of God, we should be pretty much at the beginning of things to move forward. Because the call of God comes to enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. God calls you and I and others to be part of the kingdom. Today we're going to be looking at Exodus 3. Exodus 3. So here we are, Genesis, Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And we have some scriptures that we're going to be reading from Exodus 3. And we're going to be going from verse 1 through, I believe, 16 or 17, whichever it is. But at this point, whoever has Exodus 3 verse 1. Can read their verses.
Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites.
Okay, verse 9 of Exodus 3.
And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Thank you, readers. You did good with those words. You did good with those words, yes. Thank you, too, for each person who has a part in the service this morning. We appreciate that. And this time, let's pray. God, grace, and God of glory, come before you to thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit's movement and unction in our lives. I come now thanking you for this place that we can worship in. I thank you for the ministry that goes on in this place. I pray for all the children and staff of this place as your word goes forth. Thank you now, Father, that your Holy Spirit is present with us to teach us and to lead us. Amen. Who does God call? We're talking about the call of God. Who does God call? God uses you, each one of you, each one of us. God calls each one of us because God has called people that aren't all the same. Really? Yeah, how about that? We're all different. And if you were to turn to Matthew 4, where the calling of the disciples was, Jesus called who? Peter. And then his brother called Andrew. And James was there. And then John was there. How about that? A brother told another brother about something. How about the times that you see a brothers that marry sisters? So one brother was there and said, hey, I think there's a lady here, a girl here that could be a wife for you. They tell each other. Here we have Peter and Andrew. We have James and John. God uses all kinds of people. Some have multi-talents. Do you have multi-talents? Think about it. Do you? Mm-hmm. You sure do. You sure do. Some are outgoing. Some of you make friends easily. Others of you are quiet, and you build strong relationships with people that others trust. People confide in you. They talk to you. As I was working this week, a drywaller was there doing the drywalling in this house, and then he just sort of, he was on his stilts, and he just sort of propped himself against the wall. He said, Glenn, how do I handle this situation? He said, you have more years of experience. He has a person, a friend of his, that has a foster daughter. And this daughter's been running away. The police came back with her one day and said, is your daughter home? Well, I think so. Well, let me go check. No, she wasn't. They had her. He said, what do you do? I said, at this point, I said, you just listen. So this fellow has felt a trust, a relationship, a safe place to share with. I said, just listen to that person. Just listen to what he says. Well, I don't have no answers. You don't need no answers. You just listen. The call of God comes to different people. People build solid relationships that others will trust. Some do a great job in public. Others on the stage or in a crowd. But then there's others. When a play is going on, how many people need to be in the background? A lot of people need to be in the background, moving all the stage equipment around and things. So those are the people who are behind the scenes, and they, as we say in our English language, roll up their sleeves and get the work done. Regardless of your personality, your abilities, your experiences, God can use you. Here comes the word if. If. you will let him work in your life. And then again, there's another thing that's important. It's like this key here. When we want God to leave, we need a key to start the vehicle. Need the key. The key is your availability. The key is your availability. How available are you, or how available do you want to be? How do I know God's call? To a few people, it is as though God speaks in an audible voice, proclaiming his call on our lives. For most of us, though, it's a more subtle. Usually the first thing God does is calls us, first of all, unto himself. As you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the first call that God calls upon your life. It's a personal relationship between him and you. You willing to have him in the throne room of your life. How many times do you and I not want to have somebody on that throne? We want to be honored ourselves. God is there. Jesus is there. But there are times that we say, move over. Not that we physically do that. We mentally do it. God, I want to do this myself. I don't need you to help me. I can do it on my own. So the relationship with Jesus Christ is the primary relationship. And then it continues as we desire to really get to know who Jesus Christ is. Think back to when you first became a Christian. Some of us think back further, many more years of situations when God has called each of us in our lives to be one of his children. But the first thing is we need to be studying his word. Studying his word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. What does that involve? T-I-M-E. How many of us have time challenges in our lives when we're going at the rate we are? We're going here, there, and everywhere, doing things. But one thing the virus has done, it slowed people down. But when you have the virus, you don't feel like doing too much else either. You're pretty tainted and don't have the physical energy you should have for what you want to do. But there's still time through that. To spend time with other Christians, then sometimes there's such a way that we just know the call of God on our lives, like we are holding on to him, living a consecrated life for him. We're aware that he is asking us to join his team. How many times through your life have you been asked to join a team? Remember those times when you'd be out there and you'd be at school or something, and it was time to pick up a ball team? And some of the guys that were popular or something, they got to be the captains. And then everybody else is over here, and they start picking names. Well, what are they picking by? They're picking by the quality of their playing ball or whatever it is they're picking them for. Somebody's going to be last. How's that feel? Maybe you never got to that point. But anyway, it doesn't feel good. So, join the team by stepping up to the plate. For others, there's an inner feeling, a sense, an emotion that says, I must say yes to God's call. Sometimes comes as a strong desire or a tugging in a direction toward ministry. How is God calling you in his service? Has he called you? Is he calling you into his service? Where and when does God call? God calls people, as I said before, from every walk of life, every stage of life, from the little ones to the older ones. God continues to call. In my years of ministry, there was times that there was an older person came to know the Lord. But you know, think of all the years that person missed of serving the Lord, of having that opportunity. We see that older children and teens especially are sensitive to God's voice when he calls. And we want to look today at one of those examples in the Bible. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is 3:1-11. 3:1-11. Let's look at the boy Samuel. Getting a microphone over there. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You did call me." Then Samuel realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle."
Thank you. Thank you. Hearing the story of Samuel, how that Samuel was, we're not going into the whole backstory of his life, but he was a child that his mother had prayed for, and he grew up in the temple. And he was there, and the call of God came to him while he was sleeping. Any of you sometimes can't sleep at night, and something's that God is putting on your mind to pray for, or something that needs to be done, how that service might take place and things, and he's calling you because he's speaking in that way. And at this point in time, Samuel was probably about 11 years old, around 11 years old, and he was here, and Samuel had laid down, and his eyes were waxed dim. He was older, old, maybe old, and he was there, and he did not have his eyes open, and the candles that were in the temple, the oil had gone out. They put so much oil in, and when the oil burned out, the lamps went out, and it was dark, and I'm sure it was dark then. Not like us, there's some light shining in and doesn't give you the total darkness. It was consumed. And we see there were 7 lamps that were lit every night. Samuel heard his name and he received his command. But we see that Eli finally perceived that it was the Lord speaking to him. It was the Lord speaking to him. And here he is. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and he was directed then to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I have something for us all. Don't let your desire to do God's work cause you to neglect God's will at our home. And we're not going into all the backstory of Eli. But Eli and his raising of children didn't always work so good. And we see the message that God gave to Samuel was about Eli. And Samuel, after he heard this, what am I going to say? But if you remember, Eli says to Samuel, tell me everything so that God won't punish you. So he told him everything. But Eli was aware of this situation, and we see that it says something about thy will be done or something that was taking place here. Yeah. And you just see that happening here. He directed Samuel when the call comes. So that was a call of Samuel. How about sometimes God calls us when we're alone? When we're alone, especially when we're reading God's word or we're in prayer, or at times when we may be away experiencing God's call in our life or a time of call. Or maybe it's a pastor, youth pastor speaking the truth, or even the call of the church coming forth, just as we have taken a call for an elder. The call of the church, the body of believers, even is very important for the church to extend this call to those who will carry on leadership in the church. And having sat on the district ministry commission for some time, I heard stories of how God has called people into ministry. The steps that have taken place at times when people had a call coming on their lives, and they were going to be going in a different direction. No, I'm not going to do that. But God kept calling them back. Some people would tell us the stories about how God would call them and just another way, and they finally submit and commit and be willing to serve as God would want them. We see how the stories, and each of us has a call on our lives, and we each have a story. We each have a story. The next person we're going to look at this morning is Moses' call. Moses, he was by himself out tending the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, who was a priest of Midian. How did Moses get from the court of the king, Pharaoh's court, and now he's out tending sheep? We know what happened. He saw some guy beating up one of the Israelites, and he looked around and saw nobody, he thought, and he slew that Egyptian as he was beating up this Israelite. And then the next day, we know the story that there was an argument going on, and the person says, are you going to do, you going to kill me like you did yesterday? I'm not sure the exact wording there. And that was when it was time for him to flee. And he left and went to Midian, and he got to know his wife there. But he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, the pasture land of Horeb, the most elevated ground in the peninsula, the most fertile valleys with fruit trees. That would be a good place to go. If you're tending sheep, taking care of the sheep, and there's fruit trees around, well, you can take care of the physical need by eating off the fruit trees and taking care of the sheep. Yep, it's a resort for all the Bedouins. And as we were over there in Israel around Beersheba, we saw those Bedouins just plopped out here or there. And the government sometimes would come in when they didn't have nothing else to do and clean up those encampments, because they were just poaching. They were just sitting on the land there and feeding their sheep and cattle. And I guess there was camels wandering around there too. But they would just hang out there. But think of this pasture land higher. There's water there. There's grass there. Just what these sheep need. And as a shepherd, looking out for the sheep, what would you do? You take it to where the plentiful grass is and the water. And then we see as he's up here, there's an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The bush burned, but it wasn't consumed. Think about that. It wasn't consumed. The bush compared to the mighty tree, to mighty trees. Israel, in their humiliation, as people despised by the world. Moses said, I will turn. It was a deliberate choice. I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. A conscious decision, because fire usually consumes everything. A deliberate action. It got his attention. Even as parents, I'm not sure how many of you do this. I know we've done it. Look at me. Look at me. That focuses, or else you can say, look at me, and hopefully they'll turn to you. But when you have them like this, you know that they're going to look at you. But anyway, we see that he had his full attention by looking at this bush. Then the Lord spoke out of the bush, out of the bush to him. Fire is purifying his people, preparing for his calling. We know that those Israelites were down there in Egypt and they were working. They did all kinds of work for those Egyptians, those slave drivers, those iron furnaces and so on in Egypt. God called him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses' response was, here am I. There was a time that God called you and you said, here am I. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. The angels here were the warm-up band. They were the warm-up band for the finale that God was going to speak to Moses through this bush. Draw nigh, but take off your shoes, for where you're standing, it's holy ground. Standing on holy ground. Have you had those experiences in your life where you might have been, where the ground seemed holy, where you had a communion with Jesus Christ, where you were just... Do you have those times of being with God? Hearing. That means that your ears were washed out. There's no wax in there. It's coming through really clear because you have open ears and open hearts. But you know, nowadays, we have so many things to put in our ears. We have earplugs. We have headsets. We have those little earbuds to put in our ears so we can listen to our phone or listen to music. And sometimes probably we need to pull them out and be still and know that I am God. Being quiet in a noisy world. I have a challenge for you. How much in the past week have you been quiet that nobody else was around, that it was totally quiet? Or after it gets quiet, you have to turn the radio on, turn your phone on, and have some music playing. We're not too good at that. I should speak for myself. Maybe you have it all wrapped up. You know all about it. But be still and know that I am God. Know who He is. God made Himself known to Moses. And Moses hid his face. He put his hands across his face. You remember that from what was read here? What does it say in the Bible? No one can look on God and live. Is that correct? I think it's that one of the verses. talks about that. And some of the songs we were singing this morning were alluding to that too. Jehovah had seen the affliction of his people. He heard the cry of the Israelites with their harsh taskmasters. He was going to send Moses to Pharaoh to bring his people out. He was going to bring them, as was read, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't know. Some of you don't like milk, and some people don't like honey. I don't know if you'll like that or not. But anyway, it's a plentiful land, a plentiful land. Moses replied, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, put yourself in Moses' place. He had been in Pharaoh's court. He had been there in the palace. And now, God's asking him to go back to Pharaoh. Now, there's probably been, didn't study all the time frames and everything. But I can imagine, from my own perspective, the emotions that may have run through Moses' mind at that time. But we know sometime before, he had offered himself as a deliverer judge. But now he needed to learn humility in the school of Midian. He was not sure of his own power and fitness for the call. And we know that there were plenty of excuses were coming out of Moses, which we aren't taking time to look at this morning. He had plenty of excuses. How about you and I? How about you and I? Do we make up excuses? Oh, send Justin. Oh, send Scott. Send somebody else. Don't send me. I can't speak clearly. I can't speak your language or whatever it is. You can think of more excuses than I can, I'm sure. But we see the son of Pharaoh became a shepherd and felt weak to go to Pharaoh. But what did God do? God met him at his moment of distrust. "I will be with thee. I will be with you," with a promise. Verse 12, "When you come back, you will serve God upon the mountain." When you come back, there's a lot of story that we're not going into, that God took Moses, and Moses trusted God, and they walked along the way to accomplish what God wanted him to do through Moses. And then Moses says, "When they ask me who sent you, what are you going to say? What shall I say? The sovereign God, just say, 'I am,' has sent me." I am has sent me. What does that mean? I am has sent me. Would you listen to that very much? I am that sent me? I don't think so. You have to have more verification. You want to see Brubaker Refrigeration on the shirt. You want to know where they're coming from, unless somebody has taken the shirt from somebody. Ask God who sent, the sovereign God. Just say, "I am has sent me. Their fathers, God has sent me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob are the ones who sent me here." We see in the Bible also, in the Old Testament, some other people who respond to God's call in different ways. And all I need to say is Jonah. We know Jonah rejected God's call to deliver his word to the people of Nineveh. Jonah deliberately punched his ticket to go in the opposite direction to get where he needed to go. But after a second chance, after a wet, soggy, ugly situation, he delivered a message. But the message, God's message, he delivered but reacted angrily after the Lord spared the repentant city. Figure that out. Figure that out. We have some things to learn in life. Are we ready to obey the call and leave the outcome to Him? When we can't understand His ways, didn't we sing something about that this morning? When we can't understand His ways, trust Him. When we can't understand His ways, trust Him. The disciples' response also was immediately with Saul. The light shined around him with a bright light. And this bright light, what did it do? What happened? Saul said, why are you persecuting me? And Saul answered, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Abram, in Genesis 12, get thee out of the country, from the kindred and from the father's house, unto a land I will show you. The story is told of a music grinder. How many of you know what a music grinder was? Had a music box, and he cranked it out in the streets and had his tin cup there or whatever for what he was doing. You probably have heard about, many times, The Stars and Stripes Forever, A Spirited March by John Philip Sousa. Sitting in his hotel room one summer evening, Mr. Sousa heard the hand organ man in the street below playing this. His favorite march, he wrote it, his favorite march in a slow, dragging manner. He dashed to the street. Here, here, he called to the sleepy, lazy grinder. That's no way to play that march. He seized the handle of the organ, turned it vigorously. The music rushed out. The music rushed out, spirited and snappy. The hand organ man bowed low and smiled. The next night, Mr. Sousa heard the organ again. This time the tempo was right. Looking out the window, he saw a great crowd gathered around the player. Over the organ and the large card with the grinder's name under it, Pupil of John Philip Sousa. Pupil of John Philip Sousa. The organ grinder was quick to put his practice what he had learned. He was proud to have learned from such a great teacher. Saul was quick to ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, what will you have me to do? And you, are you ashamed to let it be known that you are a pupil of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you put into practice the things that you have learned, the things you have heard, the things you have studied? We may need to give our control room of our life to Jesus Christ and let Him crank us up so we get to the right tempo and the right speed so we can go forth and tell the story. Because today is a special day in the life of the church. Do you know what the special day is? Today is Pentecost Sunday. And do you know that this was the beginning of the church? We are 50 days from Easter. It was 40 days from Easter to the ascension of Jesus Christ. And it was 10 days later till Pentecost came. Pentecost was a time when there was a sound of wind and also tongues of fire. They were speaking in foreign languages. They heard in their own languages. Pentecost marks the beginning of the church, of the Christian church. It reminds us of Jesus' promise that God would send the Holy Spirit, and it was fulfilled. Remember, His word is true, and He will fulfill it. And you know what? Jesus is going to come again. Are we prepared to meet Him? Are we preparing? Yes. Just think about the birthday of the church. The three signs of the Holy Spirit are fire and wind and language. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for being present with us this morning, because where two or three are gathered together, and we have more than that here this morning, Lord, thank you for your presence with us each and every Sunday, because your word says it. Thank you, Father God, for this time to look at the call of God. I just pray now for each one of us thinking of the call of God on our lives, how you have called us to be your children, to serve, to honor, and to glorify you, and of course, to build your kingdom. And we pray, Father, now for this picnic coming up on June 6th. I just pray for your Holy Spirit's movement upon those in our neighborhood, those in our hearts also. Prepare our hearts, Lord, as we serve and as we build relationships with people. Guide us, we pray. Thank you for the birthday of the church. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you said you would send when you leave to be our comforter. Go with us now. Help us to be your church after we depart, so that your kingdom might be built up and you glorified. Amen.